We're here to celebrate what God planted in this place 9 years ago, Dunfermline Elam Pentecostal Church, and we are proud of it, proud of the Pentecostal, proud of the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do. In the next 2 weeks, I'm speaking on Pentecost, so make sure you're here. Tie your shoes up tight because they might come flying off your feet, okay? There's going to be so much power of the Holy Spirit that's going to be released. I believe when God planted this church, what he showed me was it was a well. The well was already here in Dunfermline. It was a well of the Holy Spirit. But over the years, rubbish had been put in the well. Over the years, people had got embarrassed about the Holy Spirit. People had told people to quieten down with the speaking in tongues and all of these things. So this well got stopped up. And churches in this town stopped allowing the Holy Spirit to flow. And I believe the vision that God gave us is to come in and unstop the well. Get rid of the rubble and let the Holy Spirit flow. And God is filling this church and this well with his Spirit. His Spirit is in this place. And we want it to flow more and more. Every single person in here, and even the people that are on holiday today, have all been part of God's plan for this church. We, Neil and I, we can't do this without you. It would be really boring to turn up every week and look at empty seats. It would be really boring if you were just depending on me to do all of that cooking, okay? It would be really boring if you were just depending on me to do the worship. In fact, it would be more than boring. It would be desperate. God uses every single one of us in this place, even if all you do, and I don't mean all you do, but even if your special gifting is to smile at someone and to welcome them. Is there anybody here been in a church where you haven't felt welcomed and nobody smiled at you? Okay, so we don't want that for our church. We want to be a church that smiles at people, that embraces people, that stuffs food in their face so they go home happy. Okay? We want to be a church that meets the needs of the people, and we are all the people. So today, I want to look at two things that can happen on a journey, because this has been a 9-year journey so far. Two things that can happen on a journey are distraction and derailment, and both can be disastrous. Many years ago now, I just passed my driving test. I think I'd been driving for about 5 or 6 weeks at the most, and I was driving in and out of Edinburgh to Fife all the time. So the roads were really busy. This particular day, I was driving home about 5 o'clock at night. I was on Queen's Ferry Road. It was nose to tail traffic, and it was pouring down. I had an old Mini. And when I say an old Mini, I mean an old Mini. You just about had to put your feet through the floor and pedal. That's how old the car was, you know. It was an ancient car. If it saw a cloud, it wouldn't start. I literally had to go out at night and put a blanket on the engine under the bonnet to keep damp out the distributor cap. That's how old I am, and that's how old the car was. Because if damp got into the distributor cap, the car wouldn't start. You had to take off the distributor cap, wipe it out, dry it out, stick it back on, and pray really hard. But also, if there's a lot of rain on the road, the car was not good at stopping. Why I bought this car, I don't know. But it wasn't good at starting, and it was not good at stopping. So this particular day, I'm driving back into Edinburgh. I'm on Queen's Ferry Road, nose-to-tail traffic, rain pouring down, flooding on the road, and I looked at a nice house. For about 2 seconds, I looked at that nice house, looked back at the traffic, and all the brake lights were on in front of me. Red, 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 red. I slammed my brakes on and did a nice little pally glide into the car in front, smack. So my car came off worse. He had a bit of a dent in his bumper, but my front headlights were caved in on my ancient Mini, which was held together by rust. Okay. So that was my distraction of 2 seconds led to my derailment. It was a hard and very expensive lesson to learn. I then had to pay to get the headlight all pushed back out and resprayed and all the rest of it. So have you ever been distracted, or has life tried to derail you? Because it can happen. It can even happen in church, Believe it or not, it can even happen in church. We get sidetracked by a person that just annoys us, you know? I used to call them, in a bigger church, I'd call them handbag people. Because when I saw them coming, I was suddenly really interested in the content of my handbag. You know, I'd have a good look in there to see where was that pen I was looking for a week ago, just so I wouldn't get trapped by them. So people can distract us. A song can distract us. A song goes up there on the wall behind me, think, oh, no, not that song again. I really can't stand that song. You know, there's the odd song which I can't stand. And being a dutiful wife, I have learned to zip the lip and I say nothing. Occasionally I might say, are we doing that one again, dear? You know, but you can get annoyed with it. What happens if someone sits in your seat? What if someone sits in your seat? Now, we've just gone to conference. It's once a year in a massive, massive big auditorium. I don't like someone sitting in front of me that's, when they stand up, they're going to be taller than me. I can't see the words, okay? So Neil and I tend to go right down the front, right? We sit in the same two seats every year for, what, 6 years now? The same two seats, second front row. There's visiting guests from New Zealand. They sit opposite us in the same two seats. We don't really know them, but they sit there and we say hello every year because we're all sitting in the same seats. Now, to get these two seats in the second front row, you're not allowed in the front row, by the way, because that's reserved for all the special people. So we are the plebs in the second front row. To get that second front row, you have to be at the barrier half an hour before the meeting starts because they put like a big piece of tape across. And then there's a massive big spiral. It's dead flat, but it's a complete spiral. It goes up about three floors to get to the auditorium. So Neil and I are champing at the bit. Even if we're not first in the queue at the ticker tape, the minute that piece of ribbon goes across, shoof, we're off like a rocket. I was first in the auditorium. All the stewards were high-fiving me. I was first through the door, and we run down the front, and we put our coats and seats on those seats, put our coats and our bags on those seats, because that's where we want to sit. On the very last meeting, someone got there before us. They were in those two seats where we wanted to sit, and we had to sit behind them in the third row, but we were very gracious. Because they were older in the Lord than us, you know. They had been doing ministry for years and years and years, so we thought maybe they needed the seat more than us. We'll let them have it. But what if someone sits in your seat at church, where you normally sit? Things are sent to distract us. I want us to note this. Don't sweat the small stuff. Rise above it, or distraction may lead to your derailment. So I'll tell you another small thing that happened to me this morning. So Neil leaves the house in one car, I leave the house 15 minutes later in the next car, and I'm driving along, and there was some mud on the side of the road, and the phone started to ring. Now, I was distracted by the phone ringing. I should have known that the mud by then was brick hard. So my tire caught the mud because it was bricked hard. The mud sent my tire into a spin, so then my tire caught the curb, and the phone's still ringing and ringing and ringing, so I had to pull off the road to see why the phone was ringing. So then I got back on the main road and my front wheels were going thud, 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 thud. So I had to reverse down a little sidetrack where my car is now abandoned, totally flat tire. Okay? Now, I just decided there and then I was not going to let that upset me. It was my own fault that it happened. But I could have let that distraction be my derailment for the day, but I wouldn't let it. So when I was preparing this, God gave me a picture of an archery target. And someone's ready with the bow and arrow to fire it at the target. When we aim at a target, we want to hit the bullseye. You get the most points in archery for hitting the bullseye, and we don't want to miss. But to do that, we need to have a focus that's unbroken by distractions. Now, I've done archery just a couple of times. It's very interesting. I'm glad you're not standing anywhere near the target because the arrows can go anywhere, depending on where you end up pointing the bow. And in archery, at the very last minute, if you so much as breathe at the wrong time, it can cause the arrow to go squint. So if you're aiming at that arrow, and you take a breath, then your hand moves, and it goes off in a different direction. And actually, I've hit the next person's target. You know, that's how squint it can be. You can hit the target on either side of yours. So even if you breathe at the wrong time, it can cause a disaster. Life's the same. We need to stay focused on the target. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. What is it God's doing? Has he planted me here? Why has he planted me here? What is happening at work? Is it the right place for me? Am I still meant to be in this job? Keep the main thing the main thing. Don't even look in the wrong direction. Forget what's happening over there. Forget what's happening over there. Because it might not be right for our church. It might not be right for what's happening here. You know, the negative things that people say, the negative things that can happen on a daily basis, we need to get over them and just focus on what God wants us to do right here, right now, today. Smile at someone today, you know? God gives us strength for every day, so don't let the small things in life overwhelm us. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Everything that we need to do in every situation. Right now, we are building a church for God in this season. And by we, I mean all of us. All of us are building a church for God in this season, in this generation. We're it. You and I are this generation. God doesn't have Peter or Paul or Luke or John. He doesn't have them anymore. They're all in heaven. He's got us. He's got Chris and Jimmy and Boris and Donnie. That's who he's got now. We're the disciples that Jesus loves. It's us. There's no one else. We're all God's got right now. So we need to stay focused, whether it's building this church, building our careers, building our own lives, building up our family. We need to stay focused. So here's my first question today. Are we focused on what God's got for us, or has something trying to distract us? Because in order to grow successfully, our focus must be unbroken by distraction. I mean, I could write a book on how many times the enemy wants to distract us from running a church. You know, he wants to distract us from that all the time, but we need to stay focused on where God's planted us. I had another vision when I was preparing this, and I saw a trap, an animal trap. You know, the old-fashioned kind, a great big metal circle that snaps up when the deer or something stands in it, and there's a big piece of meat or whatever it is. Maybe not, that wouldn't be for a deer, but maybe for a lion. You know, catch a lion, put a piece of meat in the trap. All right? So there's this big trap there, and the enemy is putting some bait into the trap. The enemy sets traps for all of us. Getting a flat tire this morning could have been a trap for me that he'd set. You know, it will be a different bait for every person here. For some people, he'll set the bait of rejection. For some people, he'll set the bait of fear or disappointment. Every time you'll be disappointed, and you'll be disappointed again and again. And he sets a different trap because he knows what our experiences have been, and he knows where he's weakened us and where our weak spots are. So here's my question. What bait does he have for you? What's he setting in your trap? And are you going to step over it and rise above it and not get caught in it by the negative things that people say or do? I've got a prophetic word this morning, and it's this. Don't get caught in the enemy trap, because the enemy sets us up to get us upset. That's exactly what he's doing. He sets us up to get us upset. And I just said to myself, and it's because I'd prepared to preach, so I got tested on it this morning. I just said, I'm not going to get upset about this. I'm not going to get upset. We'll just go to church and have an amazing time, and I'll worry about a flat tire after that. So the enemy sets us up deliberately to distract us. Don't let anything stop us building for God. Whether it's here or in your workplace, stay focused on what God's doing. And right now, he's building this church in this place, and you are part of it. Philippians 3:13 says this, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. You know, it can be a strain to reach forward to God and what God wants us to do. It can be a strain to forgive people. It can be a strain to stop the negative thoughts in our head and break off the lies. It can be a strain to walk through the pain of grief or rejection or anything else we've had to walk through. But forget the distractions. and focus on God's love for you and his plan for your life, because there's no other plan but the one that he stated, and it's to prosper you and not to harm you. So whatever the enemy's put in the bait, God can come along and he can remove that trap and he can remove the bait as well. I read this in my daily reading. Forget what's behind you and around you and stay focused on winning the prize, fulfilling your God-given destiny. If we'd given up pastoring this church at the first obstacle that came in our way, well, we would have given up years ago. But you have to stay focused on what God has called us to do. Stay focused on the target, no matter what the enemy throws at us. So here is another revelation. Listen to this. We are the enemy's target, but we need to make him our target. He's always trying to trap us. He's always firing arrows at us. But we need to get up our shield of faith and either stop the arrows or pick them up and fire them right back. And just say, I'm not going to believe that lie. Fire the arrow of God's truth at the enemy. Hit the bullseye with truth every time and destroy the lies that he's whispering to us. We must act like we've already won, because Christ has already won the victory. He's already died and he's not going to do it again. The victory is ours. We need to claim it and we need to fire it at the enemy. Don't let people make us feel defeated, not even for a minute. But stay alert to the schemes of the enemy. Stay alert to his lies and his attack. You know, the enemy can only devour us if we let him. He can only distract us if we let him. If we decide, I'm not going to be distracted by this, then he's lost and we've won. Only think God-inspired thoughts, or we will end up distracted. And distraction leads to derailment. I had another picture from God, I felt, when I was preparing this. And I saw a train, the engine, two or three carriages, and it had jumped the track. And it had gone too fast or something around the bend, and it was off the track. Okay? So this train had been completely derailed. Once the train was derailed, it was going nowhere. That train couldn't move. We need to stay on track, or we'll be like the derailed train. Stay on track to what God's asking us to do right now. Here's another revelation. Every negative thought or experience has the potential to derail us, but only if we let it. Only if we let it. Just see it for what it is. Say, this is what it is. You know, whatever's happened this week, there's been a few different things. I've got a friend right now who's fighting secondary cancer, and I've got another friend who's going for an operation for secondary cancer. I thought, a flat tire, nothing. Nothing. There's always someone worse off. We need to keep focused on the main thing and not on the things that would distract us. I'm going to finish today with a story from the book of Nehemiah. I love Nehemiah. It's a really short book. It's right in the middle of the Bible. It's right about Psalms, Job, Psalms, round about there. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalm. So that's where it is, just before Job and Psalm. Right in almost the middle of your Bible. Really short book, so worth reading. An amazing story. I'm just going to bring one scripture, but I just want to give you a little bit of history first. Nehemiah was a man who was determined not to be distracted or derailed. And God asked him to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. This is not a small job. You know, the walls were completely broken down. The gates were burned in just rubble and ash. It was just lying in a heap of rubble. It was a complete mess. But God said, Nehemiah, go. There's a few people left in Jerusalem. They'll help you rebuild the walls. And so they had lots of enemies, because obviously the minute they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, that's a status symbol. We're up and happening again. We've rebuilt and we're on the move. And we're going to win the victory over you. So the enemies didn't want the status symbol. They didn't want them to rebuild, okay? There are lots of enemies, and they all set out to stop Nehemiah. They did their very best to distract and derail him. In fact, his enemies asked to meet Nehemiah, but he knew really they wanted to harm him. They wanted to kill him. So this was Nehemiah's reply to the enemy, Sanballat and Geshem, that came against him. Nehemiah 6, verse 3. And I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? Why should it stop? You're just going to chew me up and spit me out before lunch. This scripture has kept me going on so many occasions. Nehemiah believes in what he's doing. He says, I'm doing a great work, and I've got no intention of leaving or giving up. I'm not coming down to your level. So this is my prophetic word for Dunfermline, Elam, Pentecostal Church, today on our 9th anniversary. You are doing a great work. A great work right now in this generation for God. We're doing a great work in this place. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. The next time the enemy distracts you and tempts you to give up, tell him, I'm not coming down. I'm not stopping the work God needs me to do. I'm not going to stop witnessing at work. I'm not going to stop witnessing to my family or my neighbors. I'm not going to stop, because God needs all of us here to complete what he started building. Not just in this church, but in your life and in your family. Nehemiah couldn't do the job on his own, and neither can we. Your church needs you. Good idea for a poster. Your church needs you. We need you. Philippians 1:6 says this, he who began a good work in you will complete it. God will finish what he started here. He won't abandon us, not now, not ever. Let's go back to the wall. Jerusalem's wall was huge. I've walked on it, and at some parts, it's meters thick. It's this massive, big, thick wall, you know? So it was thick, it was long. It was a mammoth task to rebuild, and yet Nehemiah and a small bunch of people finished it in 52 days. That's just over 7 weeks. That was miraculous in itself. Why? Why, or I should say, how? How did they manage to finish it in just over 7 weeks? Because Nehemiah refused to be distracted or derailed. He's going, this is the plan, and we're sticking to the plan. He knew he was doing a great work. Here's a question, do we know it? Do we know, when I get up on Monday morning, do I know I'm doing a great work for God in this church? Do you know you're doing a great work for God, not just in this church, but in your life? Do we know it? We need to remind ourselves that we are doing a great work, because this church is great. You know, Nehemiah said, why should the work stop while I come down to you? There's no way I'm stopping God's work for a lying, cheating enemy like you. So listen here, Sanballat and Geshem. You can't distract me. You can't derail me. I'm sticking with the original plan to build for God in this place today. Now, if Nehemiah had his mobile phone on him, could have got his mobile phone out, and he could have left a message on his answering service for the enemy when they called. And if he left a message on his answering service, it might have said this. If this is Sanballat or Geshem, don't bother leaving a message. You're wasting your time. I have no intention of stopping the work of God that God's called me to do. If it's anyone else, please leave a message after the tone. You know, we need to tell the enemy to go and get lost, to take a long walk off a short pier when he starts attacking us. We need to give the same answer to the enemy when he tries to derail us. Set our answering machine to say, you are wasting your time. Folks, I want to be counted with Nehemiah. I want to have the same spirit that he had. I want to say, I cannot come down. Not today, sorry. Why should the work in Dunfermline stop while I come down to you? And believe me, I've been tempted to come down. Why should I come down and stop the work because of you? I want to be found standing on the walls of God's church and building them up, making them strong and powerful, and not walking away when things get tough, not knocking away when the walking away when the bait is in the trap, not giving in to the enemy and his lies, but believing with God that I can do all things. We can do all things in this church. If we have the same spirit as Nehemiah, the enemy will never distract us or derail us. If we have the same spirit as Nehemiah, we'll be counted with the men and women who rebuilt the walls of God's church in our generation. And that's what we're doing here in this church. You're welcome to join us.